This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, yeah. Another day of baseball. It's like getting a stay of execution if you are a Padres fan or a Yankees fan. Man, I'm telling you, we are off and running this morning. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. We'll get our heads right. Kind of worried that it was going to be a sweep and we would, be sitting here today with the baseball season over. But again, the governor called and he said, nah, let's go at least one more and give those guys a little bit of a breather. Good morning. It's great to be here with all of you. Already see the YouTube chat is full this morning. You can watch us on YouTube. You can listen on the radio. You can stream us on Twitch. You can catch us on the Odyssey app. Your old standard radio also works as well. A lot of ways to consume Ben and Woods. So we appreciate you and all the effort that you make to do so every single day. We know you have a lot of choices in the morning. We appreciate you choosing Ben and Woods. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindo, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Please stay on the line because our options have recently changed.
I was doing more of a flight attendant.
Yes.
Yeah, I was doing the flight attendant. Thanks for flying Southwest.
I haven't been on a plane in a while.
Yeah, you just travel a lot. You don't so much anymore.
Yeah, I have not gotten on an airplane. Yeah, I don't think this year.
Not at all.
No.
After so many trips around the globe last year.
Yep.
Next year, I'm dead. You guys thought it was bad this year.
Right.
Oh, I'm dead. I've got so many trips. Just trip after trip after trip. I feel like I have something every single month.
I was impressed the other day when you told us you were choosing your seat for the flight, and you actually tested.
I did.
The lean, which way do I want to lean, right toward the side or left if I'm going to try to sleep on the plane and I'm not going to be in a first class type seat, which way am I better off getting stuck all the way over the Atlantic Ocean?
I think it's which way?
You want to lean right.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a left leaner.
Are you a left leaner?
I'm right.
You're right too? Yeah. It's just a matter of my neck. I feel like I'm just more cozy this way, but that could change. I could go out there on the right side and be like, that was terrible, and then switch my flight and fly back on the left side when I go out to England next year. But yeah, man, good game last night. I mean, a little bit of a nail biter for a while. I was talking to my dad about it this morning. My dad, a huge Yankees fan, and the relief in his voice just to get one was like, I said, Dad, these dudes are tough. They are tough. They're a tough team to beat because I don't get it. They don't chase. They got these guys coming out of the bullpen that are nasty. I said, I know. Trust me. We play them how many times a year? 14 times or something? Like, it's a tough squad, Pops. And he's like, yeah, I mean, it was nice to get one. Nobody ever wants to see their team swept, And the last two at home, just brutal. So we'll get into that game, certainly. I enjoyed every second of it last night. It was a really, really good game, quite enjoyable. I really got in the Paulie posted just a pretty innocuous little message yesterday.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
That was very much not intended to be a troll or anything.
Not even a troll.
It was
not
a genuine tip of the cap.
I literally tipped my cap.
You guys are
awesome.
The best.
Yeah.
And I don't say that lightly. You're the best.
Correct.
And if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
And now you get the chance to act like lunatics. You've absolutely deserved it.
Earned it.
That's what it was. I said, you earned it. Boy, they went nuts on me yesterday on Instagram, on Twitter. Did you put that on YouTube, perchance?
I did.
Oh, cha-ching. Thank you, Dodger fans, for weighing in. I was a genuine compliment, but they don't know how to take a compliment.
They haven't won anything yet.
Well, then why are they acting like they have in my mentions every single day? That was kind of the thing. Like, you got a 3-0 lead. Benny, I'll be real clear. They're going to win the World Series. No team has ever come back down 3-0 in a World Series.
True.
It has never happened.
But teams have come back from 3-1 in a World Series.
But
now it's 3-1. What happened in the past doesn't really matter
anymore.
Sure it does.
It's not going to be. The Yankees don't have the guns, man. They don't have the guns to match what the L.A. Dodgers have. So, again, me trying to congratulate you guys blew up in my face, as it always does, because you guys don't understand nuance.
I told you after the show, it had already started. I was like, dude, I feel bad.
Paulie goes, dude, I'm sorry. I should have checked with you. I go, you don't have to check with me.
I was like, maybe I shouldn't have tagged you. I don't know, because like, you're just, your mentions are a dumpster fire now.
But they were nuts.
Instagram, X, TikTok, YouTube. Like, every platform, you were just getting murdered. I'm like, you didn't take any cheap shots.
No, not even one. Not even one cheap shot. I'm trying to compliment you morons, and you can't figure it out. So, all right. Like, again, you're probably going to win the World Series tonight at Yankee Stadium. You're probably going to do it, you know? And I feel pretty confident about that for you guys. And, again, let me reiterate. You guys were picked to be the best team in baseball. You've done it. Congratulations. You've earned it this year. The 60-game season, you don't have to defend it anymore, ever again. You know it was garbage. We know it was garbage. It's always been garbage. Don't tell me about an even playing field. You take away the grind and stress of 102 regular season games, you know that's not the same. That one's not going to feel the same as this one does. You know that. And you're finally going to be able to admit it. Let it go. Let it go. You would have made fun of us if that was our only World Series. You would have crushed us. You would have... Taking it out, and I think we would have every day.
Well, we would have defended it a little bit. We also would have known in our hearts.
I would have been mortified, Paul. Benny, I would have been disgusted.
But you would have had to kind of go, well, I mean, you know, they had to get through the playoffs and everything. But in your heart, you would have known it doesn't really feel like a real World Series title.
I was, it's a smaller scale, but still significant. I was terrified. Set it on the air, terrified that the first no-hitter in Padres history is going to be a combined no-no. And we were going to be like, it doesn't really feel right. Like, thank God Joe Musgrove just went nine.
And just shoved it.
Got it out of the way.
Didn't have to have somebody come in and close out the last two outs. Because it's our first.
Yeah.
Then we get the little tiny championship. Then maybe be like, dude, it was the COVID year. Everybody had it. Like, whatever. So I can understand them. I can understand a little bit their defense, but to walk around waving it around like, you know, it's something super special, it was cool. And I celebrated during those games, but I celebrate during every game. They were posting the video of me screaming when Manny hit the home run in that series, in our playoff series. And I was like, I go, bro, that's me on a Wednesday against the Rays if Manny hits a home run. Like, who are you talking to? So, I'll apologize. Sorry for giving you guys a compliment, man. I didn't know telling you guys what a great team you are would piss you off so bad. I'm not the arbiter of what you can and can't do. I'm just giving my opinion, which is what I'm paid handsomely to do every day. So congratulations. You're going to have the right to be insufferable because you won a real ring. You know it. Your players know it.
Chris, I see people in the chat going, what did Woods say? Let's just play it.
Play it. They're going to be insufferable. But you know what? You've earned this insufferability. I had a problem with you being insufferable when you hadn't done anything. You play the way that you guys have played this postseason. Tip my cap to you, dude. You've kicked the crap out of everybody you've played. You've played incredible baseball, fundamental baseball. Be insufferable. When you win a World Series, when you win a full season World Series, you're allowed to be insufferable.
Is that the one that got him so mad? It comes with your fan card.
Nat, what I've been saying for 7 years is, wait till you win one. Now you're on the cusp. You're going to get one. Yes. Now it's fine to be insufferable. You guys have earned that one, man. You've earned it. And they're playing great baseball. The Yankees are one of the worst World Series teams I think I've ever seen. Just not even interesting to watch.
Yankee fans should have been the ones that came after me.
They should have, but they know ball. And they realized that they were not playing well.
I got a text from a Dodger fan I know, and she said, actually, have you not told Woods the Dodgers fans are insufferable whether we win or lose? And that's from a Dodgers fan.
Yeah, no, I know. I've seen it. I think you're set up really nicely for today.
And, I was shocked they lost yesterday.
I was so shocked. I was so, so shocked. I thought they would absolutely go in there and dominate.
Even after when they were down 5-2.
I thought,
they got this.
Told my dad. I go, he goes, man, Volpe hits the grand slam. I go, yeah, you can't take a breather because you blink. I went into like put the kids down or make lunches or something. And I walk back in, it's 5-4 with two guys on. And I'm like, Jesus, dude, they don't quit. They do not quit. They're a really tough team to put on ice, man. So, again, congratulations. Congratulations. Don't scream at me. But, yeah, I'm honestly, like, obviously I didn't want to see the Dodgers sweep. I'm just so happy we have another frigging game to watch tonight. I'm so happy I got another game to watch tonight because it's Wednesday night. Nothing else going on. We get another baseball game. We get Garrett Cole against Jack Flaherty and maybe try to redeem this World Series a little bit from many calling it, you know, one of the worst in recent times as we all hyped it up. So I thought it was a lot of fun last night, certainly. I'm sure Dodger fans feel differently about it. But, again, you're still set up really, really well to win your first regular season real World Series since 1988, and that's got to feel good.
They are underdogs, according to the odds makers, tonight in Game 5.
According to them, they've been underdogs since day
one. That's a good point. So. But anyway, we'll talk about it. We'll set the menu coming up. Discuss Dave Roberts' strategy of let's not win this game and let's save the winning game for later. And whether or not
if you
agree with that strategy.
Well, yeah. I mean, and if you've watched if you had asked me 3 weeks ago, should he do this? I'd say, no, go after that win. But watching him manage this postseason, it's very, very obvious and evident what his plan is. And so far, so freaking good for Dave Roberts, dude, who's been great.
No, I mean, I totally get what he's doing.
I did see people online tweeting about his plan, and it just doesn't make any sense to me why you wouldn't go for it there down a run. And I'm like, well, you haven't been watching this team. You don't know what's down there in the bullpen getting an extra night's rest.
I also know that if I was a Yankees fan, that's what I was hoping Dave Roberts would do in that game.
100%.
And I don't know if it's ever a good idea to do exactly what your opponent is hoping you will do in a game. That's my only question. And we can talk about that.
That's interesting.
And the strategic choice of doing what your opponent wants you to do in a huge World Series game like that. And, you know, the potential for it backfiring on you in the series.
And speaking of backfiring, one of the craziest things I've ever seen in a big league game last night happened in the first inning. We want to talk about that. The reactions are insane, and we will talk about that. We have some opinions on it. Certainly, we have some old opinions of ours as well. I think I might want to recant mine after seeing what happened last night, but we'll see. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we will discuss the fan incident in the first inning and more. Set the menu coming up next. We are in the middle of the week. It is a Big League Wednesday. We'll tell you all about it coming up after Kelly's Traffic. Ben Woods and Paul, glad to have you with us on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, happy Mischief Night, or as we used to call it on the East Coast. Do you remember what we used to call it on the East Coast?
Oh, yeah, you told us this.
A year ago today.
Cabbage Night.
There you go.
So weird.
Trust me, when you move to the East Coast South.
I did not know about this.
And you learned.
Did you previously call it Mischief Night?
I moved in sixth grade from Colleyville, Texas, home of Bobby Witt Jr. and Post Malone. And we moved to Simsbury, Connecticut, and I got there, and my first day of school, I walked into the cafeteria, and it said, the lunch board said grinders, and I, in my mind, panicked immediately, and I said, I don't know what a grinder is. Like, I'll work hard, I'll put my nose down, but what do I eat? What in the F is a grinder? And so I look at the board, and I'm watching people. You know how you do. You're like, I'll just fall in line here, and I'll just try to mimic what they get. Guy walks up, I'll take a grinder. So I go up behind him. I'll also have a grinder sub sandwich.
Nah.
So delicious. I was fine with it.
We call them subs here.
But
hoagies, grinders, subs.
So then, you know, Halloween rolls around, and everyone's like, oh, what are we doing for cabbage night? And I'm like, sounds terrible. I don't like cabbage. I don't want to eat cabbage. I don't want to do anything with cabbage.
Boil it. What are we going to do?
Boil
shred
it. What are we, the bucket family? Like, what's happening right now? So it's the night you go out and toilet paper and throw eggs and smash pumpkins and all that. But they called it, in other parts, Mischief Night. But
see, I never participated in any.
Never once.
Sort of activities like that. But I always at least thought that just happened on Halloween here. Like, it was also, you know, the good kids would just politely trick or treat and ask for their candy. The naughty kids would go around, you know, doing pranks and, you know, some vandalism, things that happened. But that was all just all happened on Halloween. There was no night before activity.
Some of us did both. Some of us went out on cabbage night. Then some of us went out on Halloween, trick-or-treated, and also did more destruction of pumpkins and you know, whatever else.
For me, when Mischief Night became a thing, that was right around the age where you're like, I probably shouldn't be, like, going door-to-door trick-or-treating anymore.
Yeah.
So it kind of replaced...
It replaces trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
But you also want some candy.
I think at that point I just went to the store and bought it.
So you lurk around maybe on Halloween, you know, grabbing a little candy here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're 15.
Is that a flaw in the design of Halloween?
Yes.
That kids at some point, it does become you're a little too old for the normal trick-or-treating, but they still want to participate. And they're left with nothing other than hooliganism.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. Halloween's tomorrow. When I see big kids in the neighborhood, I get mad.
Right.
When I see them like shoving kids out of the way.
But the only other alternative is, well, hey, can you now you're 14, now can you just sit and hand out the candy to the kids coming by? And they go, no, last year I was having fun going out, now you want me to do nothing.
It's true. It would be like telling your kids at Christmas, well, you're 15 now, you don't get
presents. It's over. It's over.
Sorry about it. You can watch your little brother
open
presents.
You're too old for it, yeah.
Yeah, but he gets presents. Yeah, he's 6. You're 15. Grow up, Peter Pan. Like, it's going to be fine. But, so happy Mischief Night to you tonight. Please don't do any mischief on my house. I'm begging
you. Yes, as responsible radio hosts, we must implore,
I implore the youth
of San Diego to...
No mischief.
To be a non-destructive. And, you know, if there's anything you can do that would be maybe clever but doesn't leave any damage or, you know, property damage, certainly no physical injuries.
I got a better idea. How about this? Let's go reverse cabbage night. And you pick up stuff in the neighborhood that
community
you see.
Community service cabbage night.
Yeah. Let's do it.
It's always the idea that responsible grown-ups have.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it scratches the itch that teenagers are looking for. Service doesn't quite coincide one-on-one with what they're looking for on Mischief Night or Cabbage Night.
Yeah, 100%.
But it would be nice,
if
that was the case.
Do a reverse Cabbage Night and go walk the neighborhood tonight and pick up any trash that you might see. How about that? Little neighborhood watch, if you will. So, just an idea. You don't have to take it. Not all my ideas are
good.
What
a phenomenal idea Responsible Woods has come up with today.
Tonight is Responsible Cabbage Night here in San Diego, okay? Let's make it happen.
All right, here's what we've got on the menu for today. We will talk about last night's Game 4 of the World Series. The Yankees slugging their way, if not back into the series, certainly into a Game 5, and at least throwing some questions out there about, getting their bats locked in, getting their ace to the mound again today. We will discuss the game. We will discuss the incident in the first inning with the fans down the right field line and why I feel Major League Baseball is somewhat to blame for the situation, actually, that occurred down the right field line, which was, by the way, the fans were completely in the wrong
Correct.
In that situation. I haven't heard anyone come up with the take that those two fans in particular did the right thing.
Oh, just those two fans.
But there is a gray area when it comes to balls going into the stands that I think Major League Baseball may have a bit of an issue with going forward.
I thought it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in a baseball game.
Paulie thought it was funny. I was shocked.
Like, how could you not watch that, replay, and laugh?
The replay when it happened. Look, I'm glad Mookie's okay.
Of course.
100%.
And things can be true. You can't rip Mookie's wrist in half.
Yes. Save it. We're going to talk about it. But the slow-mo video... It got me howling. I mean, when it slowed it down and then you realize Mookie's okay, it's okay to laugh about that. But what's been even more insane is the fallout after the things that have happened. There's an article written by ESPN about these guys this morning. And these guys may be at the game tonight, which is, in my opinion, kind of unacceptable. So we'll talk about that as well. And I did want to make this point. Robert just made a good point for me, and I'm the first to admit when I'm wrong. He said, I love your takes, but if a big kid is trick-or-treating, let them. They could be doing so much worse. That's a good point. I feel like an ass.
It is a good point.
If they're out there trick-or-treating, having fun, who am I to say you're too old to trick-or-treat? All right, what's the cutoff, Robert?
That's the thing. There is a cutoff.
There's got to be a cutoff.
There is a cutoff.
There's got to be.
You know, you're like, a big kid.
I'm a big kid. Yeah. Huge kid.
You know, 22-year-old walking around there with, you know, 7-year-olds trick-or-treating doesn't feel right. It's not okay.
In fact, it feels less, way less than right.
So there is a cutoff, but at the same time, Robert's also kind of right.
If they're, what do we,
if
what,
they're having good, clean fun.
What's the cutoff?
I say high school.
And, so ninth grade?
And that's being generous, I think.
See, in theory, I agree with you. I feel like once you get to high school, you're probably done trick-or-treating. But I also know that I went out my 10th grade year in full camo, stolen valor, full camo. And my dad was like, oh, what are you, an army man? Yeah, have fun.
At ease, soldier.
At ease, soldier. Have fun destroying the neighborhood, which is exactly what I know you and your idiot friends are going to go do. Please don't get in trouble. So what's the cutoff?
That's a good question. I'd like to know. Yeah. I would like to hear all from right, the tier ones. What you say?
I'll put out a poll.
That's a good poll question for a cabbage night with Halloween coming up tomorrow. What's the what is your cutoff for trick-or-treating age? We can answer that on Ben and Woods. Don't do this. Take on Woods in our 7 o'clock hour, and it is a Big League Wednesday. Good day for it. Adam Jones will join us at 7:35. We'll talk to the 5-time All-Star, and then at 8:35, Brett Boone, our Odyssey MLB insider, will join us as well. So plenty of World Series talk this one today. Ron will report in our 9 o'clock hour and then turn things over to Annie and Elston coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. But when we come back, Game 4 of the World Series. You know what? This could still end up being a really good series.
It
That's
could
the
be.
Thing.
Yeah, well,
We gave up on it 24 hours ago.
We would have never known if it would have been good or not had the Yankees not pulled that one out.
Now there's at least the possibility of it. We will talk about that next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, poll question is up at our Ben and Woods X account. What should be the cutoff age for trick-or-treaters? Up to 13, up to 15, or 18?
Yeah.
Legal adulthood at that point.
So for me, that would have been 13 was 7th grade.
I was trick-or-treating in 7th grade.
15 was freshman year of high school.
I went out that year and I think the next.
Really?
I do have a picture of me. I'll try to grab it when I'm home for the holidays of me in my full Army gear wearing a Notre Dame sweatshirt. But my face has, like, the camo paint from, like, Commando on it.
Oh. That was for trick-or-treating, not for...
It was going out on Halloween. Mischief Night was a night you had... Cabbage Night, you had to sneak out because your parents were like, what's... You can't just go out on a Wednesday night or whatever and go wreck the neighborhood. But I'll see it, man, tomorrow. Like, it's... We have so many kids in our neighborhood from all ages, so I'll see the gamut. It's really sweet, man. Seeing the little ones out there for the first trick, there's nothing like it. And my kids are on fire. I've been threatening this week. That's been the carrot this week is, hey, you better clean it up or there will be no trick-or-treating. You and I will sit here and hand out candy. And they're like, okay. And bro, you take trick-or-treating away from a kid? Of course, I never would. Shh. Don't tell them. But it's just a threat.
Make them hand out candy
Make
instead
them
of go out
yeah.
and get candy?
Look at all these kids having fun.
You're the king of the empty threats.
The king of the empty threat. I mean, so are you. So is every dad.
Parent,
every
yeah.
parent. Like you have to emptily threaten your children. You have to. You have to do it.
You do.
It's in. They don't teach you that in the book, but it should be the first
be
chapter.
Entire chapter.
Here's a list of all the things you can empty threat your kids for. Christmas, no Santa. You know, no Halloween, no trip. Oh, we're going to Disney. You're staying home. Like, they're little morons most of the time. And they finally catch on. They're like, oh, you can't leave me home from Disney because there's no one to watch me. All right. Well, you got me. You got me. But, yeah, of course I empty threat my kids.
Ted says 18, they have their whole lives to deal with being an adult. Let them be a kid for a while they are still a minor.
That's
all right,
true.
We'll update the results of the poll a little bit later on the show. We want to get into last night. We're just going to go with in that game. Starting in the first inning and kind of moving forward, we'll do so after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And since we're going chronologically, we have to start once again with Freddie Freeman in the top of the first inning. It's almost comical at this point.
He's unreal.
I mean, you had a runner at second base. There was an open base at first. And yet, they did not pitch around him again. They gave him something on the inside part of the plate. It's like... I mean, at this point, it feels like the Yankees are just curious. Can you keep doing it every single game?
It's one of those things where you're like, he certainly couldn't do it again. Right. The odds are in our favor at this point, but he continues
law
to do it
averages,
again.
Law of averages, right?
The law of averages says
he's not homering every game.
He's not homering. I'm looking at the prop bets before I'm looking at the prop bets before the game, and I'm like, No, I'm not picking Freddie Freeman. He's not going to do it again.
Yeah, six straight World Series games with a home run. So that's all four this year, and then the last two when the Braves won in 2021, correct?
It's astounding.
It feels like a record that's not falling to me. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's hard to hit home runs in like three straight games in the regular season. We're talking six straight World Series games. There's not a lot. Those guys don't even play in six World Series games in their career.
And again, you'd think after, I don't know, four, you'd stop giving them anything in the zone to hit.
Yeah.
And keep
I mean, if Shohei Ohtani had homered in the first three games of the series, he's not seeing a pitch in the fourth game.
Give him the four,
but
man.
They keep throwing to Freddie. Luis Gil gives up the home run, and the Dodgers jump in front 2-0. And at that point, I think even though it was still very early, we all thought, all right, it's over. Yeah. Series is over. Freddie's your MVP. Let's just finish this script out, and let's get on to the offseason and start talking about 2025. This is done. We've seen this movie before. How can the Yankees really come back from that? But, of course, they did. And I was listening to Maggie and Perloff on my way in, and they made the point, you don't really want what happened in the bottom of the first to feel like a turning point in the series, because it doesn't deserve to be a turning point for the Yankees fans. But the ball that went down the right field line, that Mookie Betts reached up to the railing, caught in foul territory, and then you had the two fans who tried to rip the ball out of his glove after the fact, which I think is a major distinction here between, you know, what could go on and what actually happened, and why there really isn't any room for debate on this one. After the fact, trying to take the ball out of his glove that was already in there in front of the entire world to see is very different than what I did advocate for, and I will totally own that, in the division series. And this, of course, if you remember, Jurickson Profar went into the stands at Dodger Stadium, went in, caught a ball, pulled it back out. Now, the rules are very clear in this situation. Any ball that goes into the stands, there is no fan interference. That you cannot call fan interference on a ball that passes over the barrier into the fans. If they catch it, even if they catch it right in front of the glove, they will not call fan interference. It's only fan interference if the fan reaches over onto the field to try to make the catch.
Like what happened in the World Series game in L.A. That guy went fully in front of the wall and made I don't even think we mentioned that the other day, by the way.
It didn't really affect the game. I think it was going to be a double. The call was right.
It didn't affect the game at all, but certainly can't go over the wall to make a catch. Or Jeffrey Mayer style, you know, right over the top, bring it in. This one, you know, the funny thing is about this one with Mookie, number one, Mookie made a spectacular play. Spectacular. I don't know how he timed that up perfectly. The wall was really high there. He made a great, great play. Probably must be watching it right now. And I don't know where that ball would have fallen.
So
that's the line.
So that would have been the real tough call for the umpire. Had the fans done what they were supposed to do, and that is reach above Mookie's mitt, knock it away from him before he got there, would have been a really tough call.
Yep.
Of whether that was interference or whether that ball was in the stands and legitimately was allowed to be knocked away. Had Mookie reached into the stands and they jostled his glove and made him not catch it, probably nothing wrong with that, honestly. And when I say, you know, if you're going to make fun of fans who don't, you know, stop the other team when the ball goes like two rows in and you're going, do something. I mean, don't just let him catch the ball.
Yeah.
That was my point when I said you gotta stop the guy from catching that if you've got an opportunity as a fan to help your team. These guys took that and took it like way too far in this situation. Way too far.
Yeah, they really crossed the line there. Now, once Mookie was okay and the play was over, and then they started doing the slow-mo replay to see the guy. Now, by the way, I got his name. You ready for his name?
Hang on, we got to guess.
You'd never guess. Austin, his name's Austin, which surprised me, but it's, you know, the modern times. Austin Capobianco with his friend, John Peter.
Hey. Hey, where's the freaking gabagoo? You motherfucker. You motherfucker. Don't make me get the...
It's the greatest... That's the greatest TikTok that's ever lived, that one.
Hey, hey, where's the freaking gabagoo?
Yeah, a little bit out of central casting, for
Austin,
sure.
Austin Capobianco. So he, so when he is... All his chins, like when he does the... And he's trying to... I was crying laughing. Again, glad that Mookie's okay. Nobody should ever do that. Don't put your hands on a player. Don't throw things at players. We've been very clear about this point. Very, very clear.
I mean, I'm even okay if you try to quickly, like, reach into the glove and just steal it out. Like,
yes.
In one fell, like, one quick swoop.
But the pinching it, he was opening it like he was opening a clam. Like, he was like, give me this, and, like, digging it out. It was like he was a clam digger. He was, and then what killed me was John Peter reaching over and doing the grasp of Mookie's wrist and holding it down. I'm like, that's assault, bro. That you cannot do. You cannot do this. And, Paulie, I just sent you a picture of the right way to do it. If you can, I don't know how long it takes you to put it up on the stream. But this happened to me with, one, Mookie Betts in center field at Petco Park. And it was a deep drive. I can't remember who hit it. But I was sitting in the best seats I've ever had. And I've had some good seats. On the wall out there in the front was the greatest experience of my life. And somebody hit a ball to the wall, and I look down, and here comes Mookie Betts, and he's gunning for it. And I back up, and I just clear a path, dude, because I don't want to be Steve Bartman. Look at my hand. My hands are at my stomach. Like, I'm not...
You backed up.
I backed up. I'm not interfering with this.
Now, did Jack he end up
Taylor
catching?
He caught that ball.
He caught that ball. That's my buddy Jack.
Now, he is reaching...
He's way up.
Over the wall. Had you just stuck your hand and knocked it out of his glove, it's possibly a home run.
I can't do it, dude. I cannot interfere with a player. As much as I don't like the Dodgers or Mookie Betts or whatever, I cannot insert myself into a big league game. For me, that's the same thing as me taking my clothes off and running on the field. That's how I would feel. Like an absolute buffoon. Padre fans would have cheered me, I'm sure. But there was no way I could have done that. No way.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It was really unbelievable. One of the craziest things I've ever seen in a baseball game.
So it's pretty nuts, man. Like, and so what I tried to do last night, obviously Dodger fans were furious, just like I was furious at Dodger fans for throwing stuff at Fernando, for throwing stuff at our bullpen.
Profar.
Like, I was livid. And I think they have every right to be mad at Yankee fans, and those Yankee fans were morons. Like, him trying to open that dude's glove, and then the other guy grabbing the wrist was the really gnarly one for me. So Mookie caught it. They ruled it an out, no problem, and everybody moves on. Mookie kind of downplayed it even after the game. But these guys, here's the interesting part, and I'll say this right out of the shoot.
Hey, where's the freaking gabagoo?
I love Jesse Rogers. Jesse Rogers is one of my favorite guests. He's one of the smartest baseball guys out there. He missed with this one. I think he missed with his article this morning. And he said this guy was a beauty. He got kicked out of the game, went to the bar across the street. He walked in, and it was like, yeah! Everyone was buying him drinks and taking care of him and blah, blah, blah. And so his quote was, we always joke in our area. We're not going to go out of our way to attack. If it's in our area, we're going to D up. Someone defends, someone knocks the ball, we talk about it. We're willing to do this. Betts said, when it comes to the person in play, it doesn't matter. We lost. It's irrelevant. I'm fine. He's fine. Everything's cool.
I don't mind you having a plan for it.
Of course.
The plan involves acting before the ball goes into the player's glove, after it goes into the player's glove.
So don't tell me you're going to D up. Just make a play on that ball.
The ball's already in the hoop.
You can't go up into the hoop and knock it out of the hoop.
If you're trying to make a basketball analogy, they already made the jump shot. There's nothing you can do
about it. If a guy scores a touchdown, you can't rip it out of his hands and throw it down the field.
Pull it back out of the end zone.
No.
It's too late.
You can't tee up at this point. That's right. The defensive ship has sailed when you guys decided to not make play a play defense. On that
you
ball.
You didn't play defense.
We need a D up line. That's ridiculous. Like that was it was a thought heading into the game. He's like, "Don't worry, Brooklyn. Don't worry, Bronx. We got you."
So listen to this quote. He said they were escorted out of Yankee Stadium, said they were told they would be allowed back for Game 5 on Wednesday. The Yankees did not immediately respond to ESPN's request for comment regarding if that was indeed the case. That very well could have been placation by the security guard, very well, in the moment, saying, guys, they're season ticket holders. That's their seat. So he goes, guys, you're out tonight. We know we screwed up. You guys can come back tomorrow. I bet you they won't, because I bet you I know one guy. That's going to make a little stink about it.
Ben, you do a great job.
And there he is.
Oh, I mean, if you do let him in, you can't let him sit there.
That's their season ticket.
I know, you'd have to make him trade somewhere, but, you know, behind. They can't be sitting there and have Fox cameras go right to them. Because you know what's going to happen. The first thing, the producer, hey, throw a camera in the corner, see if they're still there or not. And if they are, they're going to show them, and it's going to be a storyline that the Yankees don't want. So if you do let them in, which I think you're right, probably is not the greatest idea.
I don't think you can
put them up in the loge somewhere instead. You know, not right on the field.
He also says, yeah, I know when I'm in the wrong, and as soon as I did it, I was like, boys, I'm out of here. I patrol that wall, and they know that. Capo Bianco, by the way. Just incredible. An incredible series.
It was freaking gabagoo.
That's him after 40 drinks that were bought for him Billy's across the street last night. So, no harm, no foul. They get the out there. And then, yeah, we can continue with the rest of the game. But it was a scene out there.
After that, though, for some reason, and I think the main reason is the Yankees were not facing any of the Dodgers' best pitchers. I mean, it's as simple as that, right? This was no different than any other Dodger game in the playoffs.
Yeah, with the Mets. The Mets did the exact same thing.
Yeah. When the Dodgers, you know, they have like most teams, there's a limit to the number of good pitchers you can throw. And if you decide to not throw your good ones, hopefully a playoff team at this stage of the season, no matter how much they're scuffling, is going to be able to take advantage of the back end of your bullpen.
Well, and being up 3-0 gives Dave Roberts an immense, immense amount of opportunities to, and I hate, this isn't disparaging, but it gives you the opportunity to be cute. You know, you can be cute in this situation. You can throw Landon Knack, who actually did a really nice job. You can throw Ben Kasperius. You can let Brent Honeywell go out there and wear it. Because again, these are the C guys in your bullpen. You didn't use your A's or your B's. Being up 3-0 gives you that luxury, and you can do that. And it makes the road for the Yankees much, much tougher today. Because if Flaherty can get a lead early off Gerrit Cole, Flaherty may go 4, you know, because he's got a rested bullpen, the attack bullpen, ready to go in and shut these guys down. So Yankees are under the gun to come out and score early off Flaherty.
I think the pause for the Dodgers is that you do know that Gerrit Cole is pitching in the next game.
Correct.
And he's been really good in the postseason. He could give you 7 strong innings and give the Yankees a really good chance to win that game. And as I said yesterday, if you're the Dodgers, if you let it get back to a game 6, changes the pressure dynamic of the series, I think, immensely. Yankees all of a sudden in game 6 are feeling pretty free and easy. Going to L.A., hey, we got it back here. No one's ever even got it back to a game 6 in the World Series after being down 3-0. And it's the Dodgers who could come out tight in a game 6.
Yeah, today,
they're huge favorites.
Still huge favorites.
And according to Vegas.
Who? The Dodgers?
Dodgers are underdogs.
Tonight.
No, but in the overall series, they're still huge favorites.
Yeah, there's some room to play with. I want to keep talking about this game.
We will continue. And a little news on a former Padre getting a new job, all coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.